This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here this afternoon. We cover a diverse array of topics on this program every day. Wanted to look back at the primary election and look forward towards the general election with Republican candidate for Congress, Monique Despain, joining us from Eugene this afternoon. Monique, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Good to be back.
So you won the primary. Now you head to the general election. What is your focus between now and November?
Well, I'm continuing to get all about the district. I spent a lot of time in Douglas County last week, and I'll continue to do that. And I'm just still hearing the same stories about how government needs to get out of the way of small businesses and larger businesses and start providing public safety for its citizens. And it's just the same message: public safety, getting the economy back on track, lowering inflation that's just killing all of us, accessing our natural resources responsibly, and holding our federal government accountable.
Now, you were here in Douglas County, I understand, on Thursday. Talk about that visit and what you were doing.
Well, I was invited to City Councilor of Winston, City Councilor Mike Bauer's retirement, and it was just such a great group, and met the new City Councilor, Thomas McIntosh, and also took a tour of the Dawson Family Ranch, which is just amazing, quite an operation. They do so much, it just made... it humbled me when I complained about all the work of campaigning. They work so hard and have so many challenges. And we went to the Melrose Vineyard, which is just amazing. That was my first time visiting that beautiful venue where the Douglas County Republican Party is doing a fundraiser. And Sheriff Hanlon, who I also visited with just one-on-one, was a great speaker that evening, just reiterating how these crazy policies of Oregon are making law enforcement's job so difficult, and just calling on people to step up and vote, and we can make a difference in these public safety issues by voting. I stop and drain quite often going on Highway 38. I love the shops there. Stopped in to meet the owners, the people working at Exclusively Bridal. I'm sure you've seen that. It's just front and center as you come into the little town of Jane and Meatworks, and then that neat little sort of curiosity shop right next to Meatworks.
So as you were here, you mentioned talking to Sheriff Hanlon. Have you been getting to know a lot of the elected officials around Douglas County?
Oh, yes. They've all been very supportive. And we, you know, the sheriffs I spoke with before even considering running for Congress. I mean, public safety is just something I've been working on for some time. And I know that their hands are tied with a lot of these crazy local and state policies, you know, like not being able to pull somebody over for a minor infraction, lights out in the car. You know, the sheriff talked about how many really bad people have been detained and stopped from committing crimes on those small infractions that allow the police to pull them over. So we also talked about HIDA, High Intensity Drug Trafficking Agency, that Lane County and Douglas County are on their list as very high intensity trafficking regions. And that's a federal agency. I think there are some state dollars too, but I keep my eye on that one. And I find it really curious that Curry County and Coos County are not covered by that. So yes, I do talk with electeds about these challenges so that I can hit the ground running to bring some relief to law enforcement when I get to Congress.
Now, of course, the 4th Congressional District, very large in land size, stretching over to the coast now after redistricting, kind of shifted things a bit. And it's a district that's now even a tad more progressive or Democratic in its leanings. How do you reach out beyond the GOP and the more conservative voters to attract the attention of folks that maybe are less conservative?
Well, they're concerned about these very things that I just mentioned. And I I was confident of that when I decided to run for Congress, because I have been talking to people from all affiliations about these public safety challenges and about supporting law enforcement in a meaningful way by funding them appropriately and removing these restrictions. So, and the economy. I mean, all of us are affected by inflation right now. We're all going to the same grocery stores. And so these are the issues that are resonating with all Americans in the 4th District.
How is fundraising going for you so far?
You know, it's just been getting better all the time. We just closed out the quarter. Takes a minute to shake it all out, but I think we hit our goal. And I spent a lot of time fundraising. Of course, it's going better after the primary. Spent a lot to do the outreach through the primary. But I took a trip to D.C., and I have the endorsements even before the primary, Speaker Johnson, Leader Scalise, Whip Emmer, and Chairwoman Elise Stefanik have been very supportive and eager to get me out there to provide reinforcement on these values and issues of the day that we're talking about. And along with that, I'm getting support from Washington, D.C., and I feel very well supported by wonderful people in the 4th District as well.
Now, Congress,
we have an amazing sign campaign. Hopefully you're seeing a lot of big signs out there.
Now, Congressman DeFazio, of course, was in office for over 30 years, and opponents sometimes did fairly well against him, but obviously he was unbeatable for three decades. Do you feel like Val Hoyle is more vulnerable being a first-term incumbent?
Yes, there's so many reasons she's vulnerable. That is one of them, that she's a first-term incumbent. It was 36 years of Peter DeFazio. She's under federal investigation, and her own party, just within 48 hours or 3 days after I won the primary, she hit the DCCC Most Vulnerable Democrat list. So they recognize that she's very vulnerable. That federal investigation is a very serious thing. She's the only sitting congresswoman under federal investigation for her pay-to-play corruption scheme with LaMotta, who is all through our district. And as you know, they're under investigation by the FBI, as is Shamia Fagan, and so is Val Hoyle. So that doesn't inspire the Democrats, I think. I mean, they're hitting the panic button on Val Hoyle, too, and they should. And the investigation aside, her votes are just not good for America. She wants to keep our border open. She's ignoring the warnings of our own FBI director that we are the most vulnerable we've ever been since 9/11 because of that open border. She does not stand up for veterans. She stands up for illegal immigrants. There have been several bills that make that clear. And the list goes on. So this is our time to take this seat back for the people of the 4th District.
Now, we're obviously firmly in summer right now. Oftentimes, once you get past the primary, a lot of voters kind of turn off their interest level until September. What kinds of things, though, are you doing to connect with people during the summer and also to kind of solidify your campaign structure and make your big push?
Well, I love our veterans. We have 54,000 veterans in the district, so we're having events to bring veterans together. We're having a roundtable in Winston at the VFW in Winston on July 22nd at 10 a.m. And there will be electeds from the community there. I think a representative from the VA. They want to hear from veterans. I have a good idea of what they're going through, and we'll talk about how Val Hoyle is not representing them. So that's one example. I'm doing that throughout the district, reaching out to veterans, going to chambers in each of the cities, and Rotary Club, just reaching out to as many people as I can so they know that I'm available to represent them in Congress.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Monique Despain, Republican candidate for Congress. They interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1245 at News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. On tomorrow's program, Lieutenant Brad O'Dell of the Douglas County Sheriff's Office and Douglas County Emergency Manager Emily Ring will be in studio to talk about the emergency notification alert and warning system. Running for Congress as a Republican candidate, Monique Despain checking in with us. One of the things you announced a ways back was a challenge to Val Hoyle for doing six debates. Talk about that.
We haven't seen any town halls from Val. We don't see any explanations for the votes that I just told you about. So I think this is an opportunity to hear what we each believe would be our job in representing the people of the 4th District.
How do you want to lay out these debates over the vast landmass of the district?
Well, my team is working with different radio stations and different, you know, city clubs and chambers that would like to host a forum, and they'll just work that out with each of those. But we'd like to have one in each county in the district, of course, one in Roseburg. And so that's what we've requested, is that we have one debate in each major county and that we do it between August and Election Day.
And have you gotten any response so far?
I don't think so. I do not. We have nothing set. Like I said, we're dealing with the TV stations, and certain chambers, city clubs are interested, and we're just working with them because we are eager to provide this information to voters.
Now, as you go through your campaign, what, I don't know if you're doing in the summer, if you're doing any polling or not, but what do you feel like in terms of how close this race could be?
You know, Kyle, we have done a poll, and I will just tell you, we've tested the messaging, we've tested who I am and who Val is, and with an informed ballot, if we get that information out to people, we will win. I will win, and we'll have better representation where the voices of Oregonians are heard on these issues of public safety and the economy and holding our federal government accountable.
And going up in this kind of race, do you feel like your chances are enhanced at all by some of the things going on the national political scene?
Well, I think we were all dismayed and disappointed by what we saw on the debate. And it's just not Joe Biden, but also Val Hoyle, that the Democrats are hitting the panic button, the panic button, for very good reason. And I hope that just inspires people to understand this is in the hands of the voters, and there's just never been a more important election cycle for the direction of our country.
Now, talk about some of the recent votes by Val Hoyle. You kind of pointed those out on a number of issues recently.
Well, the one that stands out to me is, I think we've talked about it before, where she's on record. Well, she voted against any of the proposed border security. It was House Bill 2 some quite a while ago that was advanced by the House. And she didn't support that. She didn't support just a House resolution to condemn anti-Semitism. She merely voted present. And that was merely just saying that we recognize this list of attacks on the Jewish community in the United States, and we condemn that. And the there's a bill that declares that there will be no veteran resources used for illegal immigrants for their welfare, their medical care and well-being, no VA resources. She voted against that. She voted against the Laken Riley Act. There's on the border security, she's in support of the Dignity Act, which is completely undignified for America, and it merely codifies what we are actually seeing right now, just legitimizes the NGOs and all the nonprofits just supporting and funding with our dollars the illegal immigration that we're seeing. The list goes on. I have press releases on my website at MoniqueForCongress.com, where we issue a press release often when there is a crazy vote like that, and I describe how I would have voted.
And as you would go around the district, what are some of the things you're hearing right now from people, some of their concerns about the issues that are closest to them?
Well, one that stands out right now is a grass farmer that I visited in Benton County talking about USDA driving through their facility, never getting out of his truck, and just taking an eyeball look at the product. And the farmer has to pay $250 every month to get the appropriate certification so he can continue to do business. It's just a tax, right? And it's just so many bureaucratic red tape, slowing down good business things. There's so many examples. I hear them all the time when I visit business owners. And then, of course, the expense here in Lane County in particular, just it's so hard to the public safety issues, just hiring people that feel safe coming from their parking lot into their business because it's so dangerous with the homelessness and increased crime here and the expense of cleaning up and not getting support from local electeds to do something about it, to change the ordinances. It's the same story everywhere. The restrictions, the red tape, and where it's worse, where it's really a serious problem is the housing. We've talked about this before, I think, on your show, that the governor's objective seems disingenuous when the permitting required to build a house, say a $300,000 or $400,000 house, you have to spend $100,000 on permitting and inspections and all this stuff before you can even spend a dime on the house itself. So we need to remove those restrictions responsibly and let the money go to getting the business done and producing the products for the people here, that live here.
What's your thoughts about the current federal budget deficit and the direction you would advocate for if you're elected?
Well, it's unsustainable, as we all know. It's just we're going to lose our country and our kids are going to be burdened with all of this if we don't get it under control. So when I talk about holding our federal government accountable, to be transparent and accountable in how it's spending money, that's one thing we can do. Eliminate wasteful programs, eliminate these government jobs that are really like I just described the USDA employee that doesn't even get out of the car and just gets paid $250 to just continue on to the next farm. There's lots of ways we can be saving money and having audits and reports of productivity, right? So for the federal dollars that go to these homeless, the nonprofits that say they are serving the homeless, they should have to report results. They should have a return to productivity, healing and a return to productivity in their mission statement, or they shouldn't get funding. We could save a lot of money just figuring out where we're wasting money and just throwing it into a black hole that has no accountability to the people.
What about changes you would make in federal forest management?
Well, I don't think we are even in compliance with the ONC Act of 1937. We are not even accessing what that law permits. And we are Curry County, for example, they struggled to get a public safety tax passed on the primary ballot. They were unsuccessful. And so now the sheriff has to lay off, I think he said, 9 or 11 deputies. They had to lay off two dispatchers as a result of not having the money. That money from our forests, the timber revenues, were always intended to pay for these community services, these public services. So if the government is not, if the federal government is not allowing us to access that money, then we will have to talk about how they are going to fund these starving communities, literally starving communities that can't even afford law enforcement. The schools are suffering. People are having a hard time finding employees because there isn't any housing. It's just in such a state of economic crisis because of the restrictions on the forest that we need to address that right away.
And what's the website for your campaign?
MoniqueForCongress.com, and you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram, Twitter.
All right, Monique Despain, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thanks, Kyle. Have a great day.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.